listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace and peace be with you from Jesus the Christ, who is risen, who has risen, who ascends, and who is with us in this moment, in this day. Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujahs abound. We are Easter people with signs of the resurrection all around us and all around this world. Christ is deeply present in our pain and in our joy, in our hope and in our sorrow. Christ breathes through us. Christ breathes us. Christ is so close. So, what's Jesus doing ascending up into heaven as we read today in this text from Acts? Why is he leaving us? Why is that closeness shrinking and shrinking and shrinking as he lifts up into the clouds? I thought he's always promised to stay with us. Oh well, let's just wait. Let's just look up into heaven. Just stare up into the sky. Let's just wait. Will you wait with me? It's a very Christian thing to wait together. It's what we do. And we're really getting good at waiting these days. Let's just wait. Let's just stare up into the clouds. This may have been how those disciples felt long ago, too. Can you imagine the joy that they had just experienced on reuniting with their friends? I mean, just forget for a moment all the theological implications of Jesus' resurrection. These men and women had their friend back, their son back. These men and women had their brother, their favorite teacher back. But just as soon as he's back in the flesh in this Easter season, walking with them down their roads, fishing with them in their waters, cooking, barbecuing for them on their beaches, sitting around their tables, just as soon as they've got him back in the flesh, well, now he's floating up into heaven. So they'll wait. But the text says, while he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. Jesus hadn't even been gone for but a few moments. They could probably still see him way up there in the clouds, like when a little one accidentally lets go of a helium balloon, and we all stand and watch it drift up, 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 up. Sometimes there's a little bit of crying when that happens. Jesus hadn't even been gone for but a few seconds. They could probably still see him floating up there, and angelic strangers are sidling up next to them. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. Jesus was never even gone completely, and angels are sidling up already. How we too may be caught staring at the heavens. How nice it is to gaze up, to enjoy the serenity, the dreaminess, even the fun of tracking a drifting hot air balloon Jesus somewhere way up there. Maybe not literally, but we do gaze. We do gaze up at the sky. I mean, we're busy, productive types here, but what is your drifting Jesus balloon that you're gazing up at wistfully? Maybe it's paying off the house. Maybe it's retiring in fine style. Maybe it's keeping the kids perfectly safe and sound, raising them to be these perfect adults, contributing citizens for the world. I know I'm gazing at that. Maybe it's finishing the backyard. Maybe it's getting into heaven. Maybe it's getting out of this shutdown, getting back to church, back to, quote, normal, getting back to something, or getting back to being with others. Maybe it's getting someone back that we've lost. What are you gazing up at wistfully? These are all nice things, to be sure. Pretty normal, really, all those desires. But friends, Jesus doesn't operate in the realm of pretty normal, really. Jesus doesn't just leave us gazing up. And he doesn't drop us a ladder from on high either, affirming all our longings and blissful dreams so that we can leave all this behind. If we just gaze up long enough, maybe Jesus will drop. No, Jesus instead sends us angels sidling up next to us to snap us out of our gazes. The word in the Greek is suddenly, these two angels are sidling up. Hey, snap out of it. These angels sidle up next to us to position us for ministry in this world. In this world, not the next. These angels, in other words, locate us. See, when we stare up at the sky, we see no one else. I wouldn't even know if you're there or not if I just kept staring up at the sky. I probably wouldn't even care because I'd be just thinking about my wistful longings. But the angels sidle up next to us. When I'm snapped out of my gazing up, I see you. I see us. I see this world in front of me. And this is just Luke's version, by the way. The story is from Acts, but the author of Acts is the author of Luke. This is just Luke's telling. In Matthew's version, there is no ascension story. This is the year of Matthew. Jesus, in fact, never does leave us. Jesus says, all we have at the end of Matthew is Jesus saying, lo, I am with you always. I think this story from Acts is just another way of getting at that. Lo, I am with you always. There was a meme on Facebook this week that I saw, and somebody even shared it with me. It said, today we celebrate ascension. To those who wonder what it's about, it's the day when Jesus started to work from home. Maybe you saw that too. Clever. It is funny. Terrible theology, though. Terrible theology. Jesus has always been working from home, friends. Jesus has always been working from home because Jesus is right here with us. Jesus' home is in your home. Jesus' home is in our hearts. Jesus' home is out there in the world that is right before our eyes, not somewhere way up in the sky alone. Whether it's angels or Jesus himself, we have our focal point readjusted again today. From gazing up at the sky to seeing our siblings right in front of us, to seeing the world right in front of us, to seeing all those angels right up next to us, sidling up. Snap out of it. And then starts this interesting progression. The angels locate us. They locate the disciples. And one of the great things I love about this text in Acts is this progression that Jesus offers. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, step one. In Judea and Samaria, that is, Samaria is across the border from Judea, across the border, and to the ends of the earth. Heather and I had a friend who once told us, she's a bit of a guru when it came to house projects. And I was complaining to her at that time about being overwhelmed with stuff. I'm thinking about her advice a lot these days. About being overwhelmed with stuff at home. Oh, I'm just I just got to get this organized. And I don't know, I'm just overwhelmed. You know what I'm talking about. And she said, you know, just take one thing, one room, one part of the yard at a time. Step by step. Don't try to stay on top of it all when it comes to the home projects, or you'll drive yourself crazy. We're trying to stay on top of it all in everything else in our lives. So when it comes to these projects, just one thing at a time. Her advice reminds me of Jerusalem. Then then Judea and Samaria, then the ends of the earth. The progression is daunting, but when we take each step intentionally, lovingly, faithfully, when we are located by the angels, then we do everything we can in this time and place, not gazing out or up. Take a breath, one day at a time. The angels are already sidling up next to you. And we are called to be witnesses, friends in Christ, witnesses to Jerusalem. That is, to those who are hurting right here, right now, right before us, right here at Bethlehem, right here in Fairfax, right here in Northern Virginia. But Jesus doesn't let us off the hook at that. We are called to be witnesses beyond that. We're called to be witnesses to Judea and Samaria too. That is, both in our country, in other places in our country, and across our borders. What about those who are hurting in the district, or in Maryland, or West Virginia, or in Florida, or Michigan, or Puerto Rico? And then cross our national borders into Mexico and Canada and Cuba, those borders that are right here next to our country. And then we are called to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. All are important. All are part of being a disciple of Jesus. We are called to be witnesses, given the Spirit of truth, the Word of God, the Word of life. And we are not alone in this work. You are not alone. Christ is with us. My theology professor of sainted memory on this Memorial Day weekend, Vitor, was a soldier of the gospel. He would get so passionate about this text, this particular text for today, he would get so passionate, I remember, about this text and point out the literal words of verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, get this, will come in the same way as you saw him go. In other words, Vitor would point out with passion, theological passion, he would read this and interpret it like this. In other words, if he's going to come in the same way as you saw him go, so think of an arrow going up. Well, how is Jesus going to come back in the arrow going up? In the same way, that is, Jesus will come from beneath if Jesus is going to come back to us. Jesus is going to come from below, the arrow going up. If Jesus is going to come back to us, if Jesus comes back down from heaven, then the arrow's pointed down. But Jesus is going to come up from beneath, Vitor would say with great passion, theological understanding of what's happening here. Jesus is coming in the same way we saw him go, then if you want to see Jesus from now on, you will see him coming from below. That is, in solidarity with the below, with the downtrodden people, with the marginalized people, with the hopeless people and the cynical people and the lost and addicted people and the oppressed people, the victims of violence, those who are grieving, those who are remembering and sorrowful this Memorial Day weekend. You will see Jesus come in the same way, in the same vector as you witnessed him go. And not just rising from people who are below, people who are down. You will see Jesus ascend back to us from the bosom of the devastated earth. Jesus ascends from the polluted streams and the chopped down rainforests and the elephant graveyards and the species who have been lost on account of greed and selfishness. Jesus ascends to us, not from us, and goes with us as we witness. For Christ gives us that same ascension spirit which both enlivens us, gives us the courage and strength we need to go forth, and Christ binds us together, as we sang this morning. We are never offering our hands to Christ's work alone. even if the whole Christian church around the world dwindles and dwindles and dwindles. That is a fear of so many. I'm not feeling that fear right now. I think new people are being reached in this moment. But if your concern is that the whole Christian church around the world is just dwindling and dwindling, there's going to be no one left. There will always be two or three gathering, reading scripture, sharing the meal, and being sent out in Christ's name. You are not alone. We are bound together, nourished, and then sent out. I love that at the end of this text, after this amazing experience of ascension and angels, from gazing to seeing, from dreaming to scheming, after it all, the disciples return to Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's walk, it says, from where they had experienced all this. They don't go straight out from the hillside of the ascension. First, they gather. And they start this whole mission into the world. Daunting, though it is. They start this whole mission into the world in prayer. They devoted themselves in prayer, our text says. How often we charge into our tasks before devoting ourselves in prayer. I've noticed this so often in the church. I remember at Synod Assemblies, we used to race into these very controversial votes. And then suddenly our bishop started saying, let's devote ourselves to prayer before every vote we take. So we would. Before every vote, we would all pause and pray. Same with our council meetings. How often in council we just rush right into all of the business that needs to be discussed for the sake of the church. The intentions are good, well-meaning, but how often we neglect to stop and devote ourselves in prayer. Friends in Christ, that's a picture of a Sunday morning too. That's what we're doing here. We are devoting ourselves to prayer. A Sabbath day's walk to stop and pray. We need that. We don't race out from the hillside of the ascension. First we gather. Let's begin with prayer. And then we go out. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. It's almost like the more we have to do, the more we need to start with prayer. We have a lot to do. Pausing for a moment to give thanks that God is both up there and right here at the very same time. Pausing for a moment to lift our hands in a gesture of thanksgiving that this world is not ours to rescue, but only ours to serve. Ungripping our hands in a gesture of openness of heart and mind for God to take us once again this day and make us one, mold us into the people with eyes set not on a cluster of clouds in the sky and a one-track dream, but on the cluster of sisters and brothers, siblings across the street and across the interwebs and across the borders. And a one-track gospel message of gracious love. We are gathered. We are baptized. We are fed at this manger. And now we are sent. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.